Com.
A gunman on a college campus in Texas fires a spray of bullets but hits no targets, human ones, kills himself in a library. What's going on? In the meantime, terror attacks, commando style, the way it's being described by intelligence folks in both England and in France. That's where we start. This is America Tonight. I'm Kate Delaney. Coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. We like to call it snap, crackle, and pop sometimes here on our water cooler buzz highway. So many of you are wide awake. It's not because of the strong coffee, is it? Or too many of those Red Bull energy drinks. I can't drink too many of the energy drinks. After a while, you get that jittery thing. I don't think that's, for me, that doesn't work. For some of you, that might work. What isn't working is what's happening when it comes, I think, to this idea that we've got high alerts and low alerts and in-between alerts and will we see terrorists or not. You know, what's the answer to this? I think the high alerts really don't, to me, don't really do anything. But what has happened, at least behind the scenes, is a whole lot of sharing that's going on, and that's good. Because when you think of who the terrorists are, the cowards that they are, where they come from, when you have these possibilities that call for pulling down landmarks like people in the Eiffel Tower or around Big Bend in England, it's scary stuff. And the idea was multiple attacks in Europe. So thanks to what's happened with the sharing of intelligence, the plot was foiled. And the attack in London was specifically geared toward hotels, also cities in France and Germany. But it wasn't, there was an advance warning of this, and the plotters are supposedly Pakistani or Algerian, and they've been trained in Pakistan's tribal areas. So the assault was going to be like the attack in Mumbai in 2008, where you had armed gunmen killing more than 200 people. Remember those coordinated attacks in those hotels? That was scary stuff. And this was what was supposed to take place in some of the areas that I mentioned. So more than talk, this was real concern about what they're seeing. And it makes you wonder, okay, so it's thwarted this time, but what's the backup plan? Because I have to believe that there is a backup plan here. You have the CIA stepping up the drone strikes in Pakistan, 20 of them this month, a record, trying to take out the knees of the terror network. They've taken out some of the foot soldiers, but not some of the big threats so far at this point. And it's the public accessibility, the areas that are the biggest concern, not just in Europe, but of course also in the United States. We know that in New York they've beefed up a lot of what's happening in the subways at some of the major stations, like at Penn State and whatnot, like at Penn Station. And this is what they're thinking they're going to have to do more in Europe. The European governments haven't commented on what plots may have been disrupted because they're not going to do that. But the stepped up attacks in Pakistan have disrupted the ability, certainly, of Al-Qaeda in that region to plan strikes in the West. So that's a good thing. The UK has the second biggest foreign troop commitment in Afghanistan after the US. And supposedly, that's thought to be one of the reasons for all of a sudden the possibility of something happening in the hotel similar to Mumbai in England. Sad stuff, but this is the world we live in. And the best part about the story is the Mumbai-style attack didn't happen, and the fact that because of the sharing of information, it was shot down, so to speak, before it actually got off the ground. Otherwise, who knows what would have happened at the Eiffel Tower or in any of these major hotels where you have tourists. So they were going to go after people in the West. There's certainly no question about that. Stem cell research is a thorny topic with some people. The court is okaying government-funded stem cell research. I think part of the reason why is there's so much bloody confusion over it. Remember, Christopher Reeve, before he passed on, would be on the Hill lobbying about stem cell research, and because of what it could possibly solve when it comes to paralysis. And then there was also and has been and continues to be a big push by Michael J. Fox as well. Well, an appeals court ruled on Tuesday that the funding from the government of embryonic stem cell research can continue for now. And this was an appeals court in Washington that granted the administration's request to allow the funding from the Institutes of Health to continue while they appeal the order blocking the research. The U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth blocked, remember, Obama's research funding guidelines because he said it's likely they violate the law against federal funding of embryo destruction. That's why I say it's so thorny and complicated for some people. It was back in 96 when the law kicked in that didn't allow taxpayer money in any kind of work that harms an embryo. So batches have been culled using private money. But the batches can reproduce in lab dishes. This is the confusion indefinitely. And the Obama administration issued rules permitting taxpayer money to be used in work with the already created batches. You know, stem cell research now is rapidly becoming one of the also-ran topics for politicians. Besides gay rights, besides immigration and money. You keep coming back to some of the same things that we're grappling with in this nation, and that's one of them. What to do? Where does life begin? What happens with the human embryos? What happens when they're stored in fertilization clinics? You know, all that sort of stuff. It's dealing with it is what it is. So right now, the appeals court says okay to using the money for stem cell research with the attached asterisk that says, for now. For now, we're okay with that until it goes through the system. All right, quickly, here's something else for you. There's now been, remember the whole WikiLeaks deal? Of course you can't forget that. That was a larger-than-life story about what's going on in Afghanistan. Now, what's happening with WikiLeaks, there's some problems as one of the major spokespeople quit the site. It turns out that the founder, Julian Assange, isn't only unpopular with the Pentagon. Apparently, he's under attack from people in his own organization who are accusing him of running the whistleblowing website like an autocrat. Didn't you love that word? He's an autocrat. So he lost one of the major players in his organization, this 32-year-old German guy who was upset over management of the site. Don't they know that's an everyday thing when you're talking about the Internet? That's what happens. We're kicking the can down the road. Stay with us.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
Gold. If you listen to the radio, watch TV, or surf the net, you are hearing about gold. Eventually you will ask yourself, is gold right for me? The answer might surprise you. We protect ourselves and our families from many things. Do you have medical insurance? Is your home insured? Do you carry life insurance? How about financial insurance? If you own gold, then the answer is yes. If you don't own gold, the question is, why don't you have financial insurance? We put our faith in things we trust. Do you trust the dollar? Do you trust the economy? Do you trust the government? Gold has always been something you can trust. For thousands of years, people have put their faith in gold. Where will you put your faith? Now is the time to protect yourself and your family. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242. And ask for Jim Parker. Let me help you get started today. 1-800-686-2237, extension 242.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
You might have caught this story. It made big national headlines when three Denver police officers were fired after they were caught on tape beating a man talking on his cell phone. And boy, there have been a lot of crazy police brutality incidents across this great country, not just in Denver. We've seen them in California. We've talked about them on the air. And I say this all the time. I've got a brother-in-law who's a cop, and he says, boy, let me see one of them, and I'll take care of it. And I understand, because he hates to hear the stories, and he hates to see it. What about the guy, the good guy, who is trying to get justice for the people who are on the end of that police brutality? From Denver, a criminal attorney who has really done his job well after I flushed out some things on him, Kevin Flesch, has handled maybe 30 police brutality cases in the past decade, and it's a pleasure to have him here on the show tonight. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the first. I'm going to wind the clock back a little bit. I said that it's about 30 cases in the past decade. What was the first case you handled? Do you remember it? And what was it like when you got the judgment you wanted?
I do remember it. It was actually a case where I was representing a fellow that was drunk on our 16th Street Mall, which is in downtown Denver. The police picked him up on a simple warrant that he had for, I think, a shoplifting ticket or something like that, and took him back to the jail, put him up on a bunk, and he fell out of the bunk and broke his hip. The police then put him in an ambulance and let him go back to the hospital, and then let him go from the jail and tried to say that they weren't responsible for his injuries. That was one of the first cases that I had that really I came to believe that although the police generally are pretty good folks, that there are still a few out there, just like the rest of the population, that don't do the right thing sometimes.
Yeah, no kidding. And so you've gotten a reputation for this, for being able to get in there and develop these cases. In fact, I think most of your cases don't even go to trial. Am I right?
That's true.
But which is a good thing. That means you're getting settlements, I'm assuming, and whatnot. And I'm sure for the clients, that's also good as well. I mean, your record, don't you have like a winning percentage record of something like 80% or more?
That's true. You know, you always end up having to file suit generally in these sorts of cases, but you go through the discovery process. You prepare the cases if you're going to trial, and you generally can get them resolved after you prove to the police and the state authorities that what's gone on has not been right and that a jury is going to find in your favor. So they generally will work something out with you.
Yeah. I know there's a case that you were representing a client, and you can't talk too much about it, but in Colorado Springs, who was tasered. This also made national headlines about a dozen times because he wouldn't let the police take his three-year-old grandson back to his father, who, by the way, is sexually abusive. Boy, this one just gets you in the gut. The case was settled, right? But there's a gag order, so you can't talk about too many specifics, but that had to be a rough one for you.
It was. You know, I had a really good client in that situation that was doing the right thing. The police made a value judgment about his judgment. And basically they didn't think that he was telling them the truth, and they thought they knew what the law was. And in the end, we explained to them, and they had to pay a judgment relating to the fact that they were wrong on that day, and they eventually paid for that.
When you go into these cases, what sort of things, Kevin, are you looking for? What are you looking for when someone comes to you and they say, well, I've been a victim, or there's a videotape, or you hear about a story of possible police brutality? What are the first things that you look at when you try to decide on taking it or not?
Well, a lot of times these cases are tough because generally the victim of the assault by the police officers, you've got to determine their credibility and whether or not you can prove the case beyond their testimony. You know, most jurors are going to want to believe police, and when police lie, it doesn't make it very easy for you to prove your case. So you need other elements of proof. You know, with the new devices today that have the ability to take pictures and sound and all the things that they can do, that has really helped our prosecution of police brutality cases, because most of the time you can't really argue with a video of a police officer beating someone up when they didn't have cause to do so.
Yeah, I would think the police knowing with the video hookups they have, I wonder what's going, and this is a tough question to answer, but what is going through their mind when they're beating someone, because it's all caught on tape? Are they just somehow just not thinking about it? How do you not think about that?
I think part of it is generally these officers that get into this situation have done it before. There's a pattern generally of these officers doing these things to people where it wasn't videotaped. So I think to some degree their ego sort of gets in play, and they think they're above it to some degree and that they'll be able to talk their way out of it. That the fellow officers won't speak up against them, or that the person that they're beating isn't very credible, so that they'll be able to talk their way out of it.
Yeah. The victims of these things, what's it like for them to go through the process? I mean, to be honest, I just think, what if this happened to me? I would be, of course, freaked out by the situation, and then maybe concerned even to try to press charges, to claim police brutality. Do you find that sometimes the victims are worried about blowback?
Yes, they're always worried about it. You know, they've got the initial victimization of the actual assault. The things, you know, we get calls all the time, probably a couple of weeks at least, where people tell me about what took place. And the difficulty is I still have to explain to the victim of these things that we've got to prove what happened, and we have to have a credible, you know, we have to have credibility when we get in front of a jury. And so, you know, a lot of times if it's a situation where we just don't have that proof, it makes it very difficult to prosecute the cases, because the deck is really stacked against a victim of these sorts of assaults because of the many state statutes relating to the liabilities of these officers. And so you've got to have a good case that has outside evidence so that you can prove the case, not just a mere allegation. I get a lot of folks in my office that I have a gut reaction that they're telling me the truth. The issue is whether I can prove it.
Well, yeah, of course, it's that whole evidence chain. I'm curious, because you're the go-to man in Denver. How are the Denver police with you as they see you as the guy who knows how to get these cases done and go after the riffraff in the department, I'll call them?
You know, we do have a pretty good track record of going after different departments within the Denver metro area. The Denver police in general, you know, they've been taking a lot of heat recently. There's a ton of cases relating to brutality, relating to the Denver Police Department. I generally have a pretty good working relationship with the department, but at the same time, they know that I'm out there advocating for victims of their assaults. And so when I get on a case, they know that I'm in business. I'm not going to be I'm going to be diligent in my efforts. We do a good job in protecting our clients and getting them money or whatever they're asking for in the way of a result. But at the same time, the officers know when they've done something wrong, they're going to have to pay for it.
When you went to law school and you decided to hang out your shingle, did you think this is what you were going to end up doing?
You know, I knew I enjoyed the interesting thing is our practices, we do a lot of criminal defense work and a lot of personal injury work. And so the police brutality cases sort of meld the two together. It's just an interesting fit that we've sort of gotten ourselves into. I didn't really plan on being in this situation because they're not the easiest cases to prosecute, but they certainly are rewarding at the end when you can look at your client and say, hey, you know, we've gotten you the result that you wanted and we finally made some justice for you.
Yeah, you were talking about Denver. Do you think, I was mentioning that we have listeners across the country. Do you think that for some reason brutality, police brutality is on the rise, or is it because of the advent of so many of the videotaping and whatnot, we were able to see it more?
You know, we were talking about that in the office recently. I think it's more of the aspect of the fact that the brutality is sort of out there and now being able to be proven that you're seeing more of it. I think there's always been a percentage of officers that are just not good officers that should be off the street. And so those are the ones that cause a lot of times these brutality cases to occur. I think the level of or the ability to prove the cases has certainly been sort of brought in the forefront with the technology now.
Yeah, that's the good news. Kevin Flesch, thanks so much for being with us here on America Tonight, shining a light on a problem and one that you're able to knock down in Denver. Take care, and hopefully we'll talk to you down the line.
All right. Thank you very much.
And how about that, handling those kinds of cases? You heard what you had to say about there's something to that. What about the inexperience on the job? As you know, with the budget cutting and also then searching for more police officers, where are they pulling the police officers from, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, there's like I said, there's a lot of good guys who are cops, and it's hard for them because they certainly hate to see that happen. But maybe this is an instance in some cases where technology actually helps. Hang with us. More to come here on America Tonight.
Buy the case or buy the pallet. Sapaco Sure Pack MREs are the most well-balanced, great-tasting meals ready to eat available at MyersCustomSupply.com. Sapaco Sure Pack MREs are great for any situation. Come with or without flameless ration heaters, are easy to transport, and easy to store with a 3 to 5 year shelf life. And you can buy just a case or an entire pallet. Either way, Sapaco Sure Pack MREs are ready to eat hot or cold. Experience superior customer service from the number one Sapaco supplier that's been in business since 1997. When you order your Sapaco SurePak MREs from MyersCustomSupply.com, get fast free shipping and 5% off your total order by using promo code GCN5 at checkout. Call 1-800-451-6105 or visit MyersCustomSupply.com. That's M-E-Y-E-R-S CustomSupply.com or call 800-451-6105. For the lowest prices on the internet, visit MyersCustomSupply.com.
How do you spell hard-hitting talk radio? G C N. The Genesis Communications Radio Network. 9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered heart and body extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
No one likes foreclosure. You won't say, think, or even consider foreclosure with ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Why? Because ZeroDebtGuarantee.com guarantees to stop your foreclosure for at least 2 years with no payments, no bankruptcy, and no negotiating. Thinking loan modification? That still keeps you in default. Zero Debt in 90 days is the only proven system that keeps you in your house for as long as you want to stay, while making it possible to even get clear title to your house. No, we are not investors, bankers, attorneys, or real estate agents. We are a group of people just like you that are sick and tired of the housing crash, and we've helped thousands avoid foreclosure since 1993. Please visit our website today, ZeroDebtGuarantee.com, or call to see how we can help save you tens of thousands of dollars and save your home. Call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Guaranteed to stop foreclosure.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
It was a couple of weeks ago when Christine O'Donnell, who is a candidate for Senate in Delaware, a Tea Party person, got a lot of flack after a clip that was shown on the Bill from the Bill Maher show talked about something she said on Politically Correct back in 1999, where she said that when she was younger, she dabbled in witchcraft. She made jokes about it the next time when she was speaking, and people tried to dissect, well, what's this whole deal about, was she really a witch? Did she take part in any of the rituals, or what really happened here? So now there is actually kind of a stir about, well, what's the deal with this whole witchcraft thing in the first place? If you go back and listen to her clip, it sounds like the witchcraft deal was pretty commonplace, where she went to school like, hey, yeah, there were these rituals. And now I've had conversations with a few people in the military who told me in a Navy base that there were people who were allowed to practice witchcraft. And I don't know why, but I was just kind of stunned by that. And they have a ceremony, and that's perfectly allowed, at least on this one base that I know of. Whew. So here we are, and that's what we're trying to find out about, more about witchcraft and cults and all that sort of stuff. So who better to talk to than T.L. Hines, who spent countless hours researching the world of cults and demonic possession and crazy teen girl rituals, like the whole cutting thing you hear about and whatnot. There's even a thing called embedding. And he's written a new book called The Falling Away, and that's what it's about. T.L., thanks for catching up with us here on ATN.
Well, you bet. Thanks for having me on tonight.
So McConnell's comments happen, and now suddenly everybody wants to know, what is the deal with witchcraft, and how can you just dabble in witchcraft? Is it kind of a crazy, nutty thing? Or, as I just said, somebody told me on a Navy base that they're allowed to have services. So there are people that definitely practice it, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's certainly all over the board. And so there are, as you would say, kind of the crazy, nutty element for some people. And for some people, it's very much a serious lifestyle, and I think a lifestyle choice. It's interesting you bring that up about the military when, you know, there are, I know people who are in the military who are practicing members of the Church of Satan and Wiccan and other lifestyle systems, belief systems, cults, whatever you would like to call them, you know, however pejorative you get with your terminology, that certainly are practicing within the military. So it was interesting that you brought that up. That was kind of one of the things that I ran across in my research that I thought was interesting as well.
Yeah, I was so surprised by that. Explain to everyone when you say Wiccan. Wiccan. What does Wiccan mean? In general, if I say I'm part of a Wiccan cult, what would that mean?
Well, Wiccan is just kind of a modern pagan religion, and it's kind of the modern incarnation of witches. Most of the people who would practice Wiccan would call themselves witches. And, you know, there's a variety of groups, people who really self-identify as, I would say predominantly it would be Wiccans or Church of Satan, or even people who self-identify as vampires, that are certainly kind of underground lifestyle groups, and people who, you know, really form these collective groups and get together, and the wonders of the internet in that people from various niches can get together and interact. You know, that certainly becomes the case with a lot of these fringe groups and a lot of these, you know, I would say occult-centric kinds of lifestyles. And so those people certainly do gather, certainly under the auspices of the internet more and more often these days.
Do you think that this is on the rise or no? Because now we have other things as far as researching. It's like you said, you mentioned the internet, so there's chat rooms and ways to gather. So maybe we're just seeing it more, but it's always been there. Or do you think there's more people that are searching for something, and some of them are searching through these various things, whether it's Wiccan or some other kind of satanic cult or something else?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I think in the last 2 weeks, as you suggested, there's been a renewed interest in witchcraft since the whole Christine O'Donnell thing came out. But I think there's a variety of factors that maybe influence what's happening. I think that it is on the rise in general, and I think there's a couple factors that influence that. And one, I think, is all romanticizing of the occult and romanticizing of what have traditionally been our monsters. And so in this era when we have Twilight, and I would say, you know, beginning with Anne Rice and Interview with the Vampire, we very much started transforming the idea of a vampire into something very romantic. And so certainly in the area of vampires, that's become something that, you know, is very alluring now. And so I think people are drawn to that sort of lifestyle. And I think, you know, the same kind of thing can be said for witchcraft and a lot of, you know, typically pagan, typically occult pursuits and lifestyles. I think we've very much romanticized that. And I think the other thing is when we just think in the past 2 years or past couple years, certainly being a different environment that we've been in. And I think a lot of people facing anger and frustration and so many things out of their control around them. And I think people are turning to maybe there's something different and people are looking for something different. And I think in some of those cases, people are turning to these kinds of belief systems and finding other people who are dissatisfied with life as it, you know, life as it exists now, and finding other people in these groups that have something interesting and different to offer. So there's very much an escapist element to it, I think, on that standpoint.
Yeah, speaking of escapist elements, is this happening a lot with teenage girls? Because that's what she said. She said when she was in school, I mean, hey, you know, I dabbled when I was younger. This is what happened. Didn't you do weird things when you were in high school? And a lot of people are dismissing that and saying, yeah, lots of teenagers do crazy things.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people say, well, yeah, I did weird things in high school, but I didn't really dabble in witchcraft, which I suppose would probably be the answer that most people would give. I think it is something that's happening among teenage girls. You know, we talked about Twilight before, and, you know, the primary group for Twilight fans is, of course, teenage girls, and I think it's only natural that that kind of interest in those topic areas spills over among teenage girls, let alone being, you know, a very sensitive time developmentally and growing and maturing and those kinds of things. And so you start to explore and define yourself. And again, going back to the internet and the society we live in, there's a lot of free access to information and resources that weren't out there before. And so I do think we do see a lot of growth among young girls specifically. When we talk about some of the other things, like you talked about embedding and cutting, which I would kind of categorize differently as more disorders, would be more compulsions or outgrowth of OCD, which, again, we start to see very much and very more prevalent and, I think, growing among young girls. So even though I would term them as different kinds of things, they are both something that I think happens a lot among young girls in our society.
And when we talk about the whole witch idea, I'm still kind of stuck on that. How does somebody, you know, to me, if I want to become a witch, and I'm kind of joking here, but it's almost Halloween, I would just go get made up like a witch. So to become an official witch, and you did the research in this, how do you become one, and how do you get out of witchcraft?
Well, certainly to become a witch, or whether you would be, you know, within I talked about Church of Satan, which really Church of Satan, the people who follow our official members of Church of Satan, don't really believe in Satan as most people think of Satan. They just believe that there's no God, no devil, no anything, and they're more intent on self-satisfaction and those kinds of things. So many people who are in Church of Satan would call themselves witches. Many people who are Wiccan who would call themselves witches. I think the Wiccan people would be more of a earth, would be more deity-driven as opposed to the Church of Satan people. But the way people would be able to get into this is certainly through the internet and certainly through friends. You can go to many places on the internet, interact with different people, talk to, you know, there are places set up on the internet where it's ask a witch a question, ask us about the lifestyle, and they do talk very much about the lifestyle. They've put together their own codes of conduct, their own rules. Church of Satan has, you know, actually nine sins that no one will, you know, will do within the Church of Satan and those kinds of things. So I think it's congregating online first primarily. And then these groups will create local, in many cases they'll call them covens, mm-hmm. Church of Satan. At one point they would call them grottos, although those have been phased out somewhat. Local covens where people just get together and interact. And it really is a social group, a social setting. And becomes a lifestyle choice. And so that is something that people explore as a lifestyle option primarily, I would say.
Last question. We got like a minute left, TL. Do you believe that this hurts her chances? I mean, do you think that it seems like it's being dismissed by a lot of people. Do you think that this even really comes up now?
Well, you know, not being a political expert or anything, but, you know, in my mind, it hurts her chances. And I guess as much as anything, I say this is kind of the cautionary tale of where we talk about, you know, we tell young kids now to be careful about what they're doing online and to be careful about the tracks they're leaving online. And, you know, if you have the party pics, you shouldn't be posting them online for all the world to see,
right?
10 years later.
Exactly.
And I think this is great evidence of that.
I agree with you 100%. TL, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Pick up his book, The Falling Away. Thanks for joining us on America Tonight. We can count next.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey Water Filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
Great news for pure water lovers. The Big Berkey Water Filter is available once again. And stay tuned to hear about a valuable offer from Berkey Water Filters. Choosing the right water purification system can be a daunting task. That's why BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com shows you a cost and benefit comparison. The Berkey Water Filter is economical, with a single set of filters that can last for 5 to 10 years. Berkey Water Filters are healthy and far superior to other filtration systems. They remove harmful pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy chemicals like chlorine. And Berkey water filter systems are powerful enough to purify both treated and untreated water, like stagnant ponds. Get the gold standard in water filters at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. For a limited time, choose a free shower filter, fluoride filters, or two Sport Berkey bottles with every system purchase. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Details at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets.
We'll say it again.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Another edition of We Can Count. This actually is a sad story, but I'm going to put it into this this segment because I was so stunned when I heard it. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be anymore because I'm used to these shootings and, gosh, something could have happened. What drives a 19-year-old math major from Austin, Texas, party town, fun place, capital of the world, to decide to open fire with an AK-47 on the University of Texas? What pushes someone to that brink? That whatever's going on in his world is so awful that that's how he's handling it. And the sad deal is he turned the gun on himself. So what happened here, and his name is Colton Tooley. He was a sophomore at UT. He didn't kill anyone, so that's the good news. He didn't kill anyone. He fired all over the place. Nobody has any idea what the motive is. It's the same old story that people are dumbfounded. You ask neighbors. You talk to other kids that went to school with him, and they don't know what pushed him to this. He killed himself in the library. And they're searching through his house, trying to figure out any kind of clues. What could it have been? Did he leave explosives behind? What was the reason for this? And once again, imagine this. Like, let's say your kid goes to this school. It's a giant university, or you go to the university. And now there's a website, and it's posted all over the place that says, if you are off campus, stay away. If you're on campus, lock your doors, don't leave your building. All organized classes for today are canceled. Now you just assume, well, it must be a crazy gunman. Has to be. It's called lockdown, and it's happening all over the place. So this campus was locked down. And I already said this, but nobody was hit. And that's the best news. Usually when you hear the news that there's somebody with a gun, with an AK-47, on a campus, you're going to be talking about people that were hit, people that were killed, who survived. And so, yeah, there were shots, and he actually shot in people's directions, but he didn't hit anyone. He hit the ground or hit other things. He fired randomly. People could hear the series of bangs, you know, when you hear gunshots and people were running, but nobody was hit. Then he turns and he kills himself. Now, the preliminary findings are that maybe there was something to do with family problems, just maybe. They don't even know for sure. And what's really eerie about this is back in 1966, I know we're going way back in the time machine, there was a famous guy, Charles Whitman, who went on a shooting spree. He killed his wife and his mother. Then he killed 3 people from a tower, then another 10 from the tower's observation deck before police got him. And in that case, it was blamed on drugs and health problems, family problems, legal problems, all kinds of things. And it really sticks in the gut of that university, because you heard how many people were killed. You had 13 people, plus you also have the wife in that case and the mother, so 15, and then he's killed. And that was just a terrible incident. You still see clips of it all over the place when people talk about campus shootings. So this one, not like that, because he missed his targets but ultimately killed himself. But, man, a sad, sad story. Troubling as to what could possibly be in this guy's head that he would do that. And he takes himself out in the end, but scary, I think scary moments for the people on campus. All right, we're talking about polls a ton on ATN, and this fits right into We Can Count, because I'm asked a lot about this. We've got an affiliate in Connecticut, and what's going on with the Republican Senate candidate Linda McMahon, the wrestling queen? How's she doing? And she's starting to chip away at the Democrats' lead in Connecticut. She actually is, I guess, just 3 points behind. So maybe there is something to money can buy you an office, because she certainly has a ton of money behind her, just like Meg Whitman, who's running for governor in California, who's absolutely spending every cent she can. Linda McMahon has 46% right now of the likely voters of who would you vote for the Connecticut Senate race. Richard Blumenthal, the Democrat, 49%. So those are pretty interesting numbers, I think, for this segment, meaning that, you know, there definitely are some renegade candidates, people who weren't political animals their whole life, who are making some noise and are close to possibly getting elected. You have to be cautious, because we don't know when people go to vote for these 435 House seats and 37 of the 100 Senate seats, what people will actually do once they get in the little cubicle area or the booth or whatever. You don't know for sure. This is likely, and registered voters, and, you know, they may say one thing, but then actually surprise you and do another. But there's a reason the polls are close, and usually if you go back and you compare polls to what actually happens, they're pretty right on. How about this story, too, when we talk about things getting out of control? 75 people get into a brawl during an Ohio party for a 3-year-old girl. What's that about? We're having a party, and here's the balloons, and here's the cake, and suddenly we're all at each other's throats. That's what happened in Cincinnati, Ohio. It was at a hall. So, I mean, this was a big deal. She had the little typical princess birthday cake thing. And it was like the one, this is what's crazy. It's the one thing that survived. Like, that didn't get thrown in people's faces. There were 150 people at the party. And it just got intense. There was all this fighting. I mean, really, fist throwing, flying, throwing bottles, chairs, all that sort of stuff. And somehow it was a family feud. That's a heck of a family feud. I can't even imagine somebody in my family trying to throw a chair and hit me over the head with it, let alone in a big public place where you have friends of friends and other people here. So you had glass all over the place, chairs cracked and whatnot. And maybe it was the alcohol. They brought alcohol to this party, but the fight started between the little girl's father and her mother's boyfriend. So there you go. I mean, and these are people that are in their 20s, their mid-20s. 15 people were actually injured in the end. 5 had to be hospitalized. 1 person had to have surgery to their eye because of a cut from a beer bottle. So this was a pretty big melee, a pretty big fight. 75 people involved. They should be ashamed of themselves. I mean, you got to be kidding me. You're going to a little girl's party and you can't contain your emotions enough that you're not throwing chairs. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. All right, finally, let's get to the lighter side of all of this, shall we? I think so. How about The Hobbit facing a possible actor's strike? So I guess it's like kind of light, but not really light. We're talking about the movie industry. And this happens, it's not unusual for this to happen with the unions, but Warner Brothers, New Line, and all the financial players involved in this movie have yet to, that actually have yet to greenlight the movie, but there's a big hurdle as far as the production is concerned. The Screen Actors Guild is urging all the actors to boycott the upcoming production as part of an international effort that's being organized by New Zealand's Actors Equity and its umbrella company. Are you following all these equity groups? The Australian Media, Entertainment, and Arts Alliance. Basically, they're trying to cover the rear ends. They're trying to get every union they can to support the actors. And Peter Jackson, who's the film's producer and expected director, is furious with the labor group because he's pumped millions, there's the money part of this, the we can count part, millions of dollars into the economy by locating all of his movies like Lord of the Rings, King Kong, there, and especially state-of-the-art special effects studio is also there. So now he's getting upset. He's thinking, you know what, forget you guys. I'm going to move to Eastern Europe. They probably like the sound of that because then he'll move his money over to Eastern Europe and they get all the big bucks.
Why wouldn't I want to be here? This is fantastic. This is great.